This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Toscano is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. He represents Charlottesville and parts of Albemarle County, and he joins me on the long line with a live update from the General Assembly in Richmond. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, but I didn't like to hear that news about snow at 20-plus inches.
Yeah, how about that?
That's pretty amazing.
For this weekend, again, like a repeat blizzard.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll get home in time.
Yeah, good luck. So what's the latest?
Well, the latest is, we continue to wait for the governor to make his proposals or how he's going to cut another $2 billion out of this budget. Governor Kane submitted his budget back in December. It's been languishing out there, and we continue not to hear from the governor as to what he's going to cut in addition to what Governor Kane has already proposed. So it's not a good scene down here, and I don't think people really understand what's likely to happen in the next couple of weeks in the General Assembly.
Well, we were talking with Quentin Kidd in the last half hour, from Christopher Newport University, and he was saying that, budget-wise, it's going to be much worse than last year, and that we don't have stimulus funding to save the day, and we are going to see serious cuts, teachers fired, services gone, and it possibly eat into core services of government. And on top of that, we could be looking at tuition skyrocketing at Virginia colleges.
Well, all of those things are quite possible. I mean, there are a couple of things we have to remember. Number one, we've cut about $7 billion out of the budget over the last several years. So those are pretty serious cuts anyway. Number two, we drove right to the precipice last year, and what saved us, and people, find it hard to acknowledge this, but what saved us was Barack Obama and the Congress passing the stimulus package. Without that, we couldn't balance our budget, and we would have had to lay off several thousand people at that time. This year, we do not have the stimulus package, and what we're looking at are probably pretty hefty cutbacks in aid to localities. What that means, possible layoffs. In the alternative, people, the localities may have to consider a tax increase to fund schools and public safety in the way that we've become accustomed to them in Charlottesville and Albemarle. And then you look at, say, universities and community colleges. With their cutbacks, they're probably looking at higher tuition. And for some people, it's very difficult at a time where they need to be back in school re-educating themselves so that they can get better jobs. Very, very challenging time.
We're talking with David Toscano, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. So what is the, for folks who don't follow the General Assembly every day, give us an idea of the timeline of what you're working with in terms of this budget.
Well, we have to, there's a budget bill that's in the House, and you pass a bill, and it'll be passed sometime by mid-February, end of February. That bill will then cross over to the Senate, and the Senate will consider the bill, make amendments to it, and hopefully at the end of the day, we have agreement on what the budget will mean and what budget we will pass. That will go to the governor, presumably, in the middle of March. He will then have until mid-part of April to make his modifications in the budget. For those of you who don't, your listeners who don't know this, we are required by the Constitution to pass a balanced budget. We cannot print dollars the way they do in Washington. We have to have a balanced budget, and that puts real... gives us a real challenge when our revenues are down in the way they are this year.
We're talking with David Toscano, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. What's the latest on the energy bills that you have discussed in the past that you were going to put forth this session?
Well, I've got four, and all four are alive right now. One is going to probably pass the House tomorrow. It passed on first reading today. So what happened? That's a bill that will allow localities anywhere in the Commonwealth to donate or appropriate money to nonprofit organizations who are active in the area of energy conservation and energy efficiency. It's interesting. You would think we'd already be able to do that, but under the Dillon rule, we're not able to do that without a specific legislative enabling power, and that's what this bill does. And I think that's pretty sure that will pass the House tomorrow. I think Senator Deeds probably has the same bill in the Senate, and my guess is that bill will pass. I've got three more that are going to be heard next week, one of which has to do with the concept of being able to generate your own energy and sell it back to the grid and to the utility as a way to help reduce your costs of installing your solar array or your wind power, your wind turbine, and increase the use of renewables in the Commonwealth. And that will be heard next week in a committee, and we'll see what happens with that.
We're talking with David Toscano. David, stay with us. We have to do this.
This is a breaking news update from News Radio 1070 WINA.
Jacqueline Pimerini joins us live in the newsroom with a breaking update regarding the Morgan Harrington case. Jacqueline?
The Richmond medical examiner has ruled Morgan Harrington's death a homicide, still trying to determine how she was killed. Again, the Richmond medical examiner has ruled Morgan Harrington's death was, in fact, a homicide. Still trying to determine how she was killed. That's according to Channel 12 in Richmond. 20-year-old Morgan Harrington disappeared in October at a Metallica concert here. Remains were found on an Albemarle County farm off Route 29 last week.
So no announcement about what might have killed her, but they have definitely said that based on the evidence that they found of her remains, that it is definitely a homicide.
That's according to Channel 12. They're saying the Richmond medical examiner came out today and ruled the death was, in fact, a homicide.
Jacqueline Pimerini from the 24-hour WINA newsroom. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
This is a breaking news update from News Radio 1070 WINA.
There you have it. Let's rejoin our conversation with David Toscano, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. Sorry for the interruption, but that's big news, of course, David, that they have, in fact, ruled a homicide in that case.
It is so sad and so outrageous. It's very disturbing.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a segue to the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is the death penalty. If they do, in fact, find and convict the person or persons responsible for the death of Morgan Harrington, we could, in fact, be looking at the death penalty, which is under topic under discussion as we speak in the General Assembly.
Exactly. We had two death penalty bills on the House floor today, both passed out with really, really big margins. I think you probably know that my view has always been that you shouldn't be going about expanding the death penalty at times when there's the possibility that an error could be made. We had the Earl Washington case. He sat on death row for years, and then we found out he really wasn't the perpetrator of the crime. And there's a lot of new techniques that can prove people's innocence, and the worry is that if we don't do it right, we can be executing innocent people. You know, that being said, it's pretty outrageous, some of the, in the Morgan Harrington case, for example. These folks are poster children for the death penalty, and it gets lots of people very, very upset. But the tendency has been to add more and more people who, if they are killed in the line of duty, allow the perpetrator to be convicted of capital murder and punished with a death penalty. Today we're talking about assistant fire marshals and adding them to the list. So if somebody were to kill an assistant fire marshal while he or she is in the process of doing his duty or her duty, they could be convicted of a capital murder and executed. And I just think at some point you have to draw the line. So I have tended to vote. I have voted against every extension of capital punishment that I've seen down here. This year, those bills will pass. They will be signed by the governor, and they will become law.
Interesting. And what they're not trying to get rid of the death penalty. They're trying to add. It sounds like they're trying to add more government employees. If you kill a government employee, and they're creating this longer and longer list of people who are employed by the government, and saying that then you get the death penalty. Where in previous cases you wouldn't.
That's true. And eventually this Christmas tree is going to collapse of its own weight. I mean, at some point, there is some logic to having certain people that you would find if they were killed in the line of duty. You should subject the perpetrator to the death penalty. You could say police officers in the line of duty, for example. if you believe in the death penalty. I don't happen to believe in the death penalty, so to some extent it's easy for me because I can very easily say I'm against any expansion of the death penalty and therefore I'm going to vote against these bills.
Yeah. David Toscano is our guest. Matt is on the line in Charlottesville. Oh, I think we lost him. And there he goes. Matt, 977-1070 is the phone number. We got a line open. David, before we let you go, there is a lake in Albemarle County, a very small private lake called in the Wesley neighborhood. As a matter of fact, I live there. And what's the latest on this? Because this had become a topic in Richmond, this little tiny pond or lake in Albemarle County.
Well, it's really interesting. Several of my constituents in your area came to me with this problem that they had, and you've got a private dam. There's a road runs over it and a small lake, and I don't know how many houses are around the lake that benefit by looking at the lake or maybe even using the lake. And recently, there were regulations put into place that would have required remediation of problems with the dam in light of. Well, safety concerns is not correct. It's really new regulations. But the estimates were that that remediation might cost as much as $1 million. And certainly they weren't going to look to you, Coy, for the $1 million.
Nope. And they wouldn't find it.
And so a number of folks came to me and said, well, is there anything we can do about this? So I put in a bill that would give landowners around a lake that's serviced by a dam the ability to essentially get out of some of the regulations if they can prove to the department that safety would not be affected. Right now, they don't have much choice. And so if this bill passes, it'll give options to people that they didn't have previous to it to do some things and solve their problem without spending a huge amount of money. What's interesting is people came out of the woodwork all over the state with similar dams, and they're all coming to Richmond to support my bill. So
that's great.
It doesn't solve the problem, but it does give people an option they didn't have before. And that's been reported out of subcommittee. It was reported unanimously, so I feel pretty confident it's going to get out to the House floor, and I think we can get it passed, and I hope it'll give the Wesley folks some relief that they didn't have previously.
Oh, that is fantastic news, and I say that professionally and personally. And it's surprising to see that there were so many people. I'll bet you there were some delegates who were surprised that folks were coming forward even from their own districts supporting this.
Well, it was interesting. You know, I have all these people, all these delegates coming up to say, I'd like to sign on your bill. I'd like to sign on your bill. You know, and it's great. I think it's... it's an indication where you put in a good idea and people pick up on it and it gets some legs.
And just to clarify, the upshot is that little neighborhoods like mine with little private ponds wouldn't be subject to the strict regulations for big dams, right?
That's right. It would give them another option. They wouldn't have to. Put in the improvements that some of the bigger dams have to put in to solve the safety concerns. Now, that's not to say that there aren't improvements that are going to have to be made, and they're going to cost some money, but hopefully they're not going to cost anywhere near the $500,000 to $1 million that it might have cost to fix that dam.
Right, right. Hey, let's go to Charles on line two. He's in Charlottesville. Charles, you're on with David Toscano. You go right ahead.
Gentlemen, simple question. If the death penalty is imposed for the premeditated taking of a life, why should my child, my mother, my wife be any different than an officer of the court?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think, and that's, you know, part of the problem in trying to draw these artificial distinctions.
A life is a life is a life.
Right.
Sacred to us all.
And that's part of the reason why I haven't voted for any of these extensions of death penalty bills.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Charles, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. And to clarify again, David, there are efforts in the General Assembly to extend the death penalty by creating this new classification that if you kill this person with this kind of job, then you get the death penalty. If you kill just a regular old person that doesn't work for the government, then you don't get the death penalty.
Well, it's not as simple as that. I mean, if the character of the crime is so heinous of a nature, it doesn't matter whether it's you know, it's me or it's the assistant fire marshal. I mean, it still would qualify as a capital offense and therefore might subject somebody to the death penalty.
Let's go to Robin on line three. Robin, you're on with David Toscano. Go right ahead.
My question is about, you know, I don't understand about people who don't believe in the death penalty but believe in abortion rights. You know, if you're possibly taking the life of an innocent person, what about the life of an innocent child?
Well, that's a great question. We had some bills on the floor today. We have some bills on the floor today about that, and I think that everyone has to find their own view about when life begins. And you know, for me, it has to do with viability of a fetus. And then you get into the issue of whether at some point women ought to have a right to choose and they ought to have the ability to control their reproductive health. And sometimes there are inconsistencies. You know, for me, for example, I tend to support pro-choice legislation, and I don't support extensions of the death penalty. For me, I found in my own heart and my faith a rationale for each position, and other people find it the same way in reverse. I mean, you've got some people who are strongly opposed to any kind of abortion under any circumstance, even to save the life of the mother, but yet want to extend the death penalty as far as they can extend it. So, you know, to some extent there are inconsistencies with people's position, and you have to find it in your own heart as to where you draw the line.
We're talking with David Toscano, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, and Matt is on line two in Charlottesville. Matt, go right ahead.
All right, thanks, Corey. I got a quick question just about how and when they decided to take the stimulus money and start using it to fill state budget gaps.
Well, that's a good question, and it happened last year. Virginia was the first state to consider passing a budget as the stimulus package was being passed in Washington. And remember, the stimulus package included a number of things. One, it included tax cuts for people, and people forget that, but about one-third of the stimulus package was actually tax cuts. The second piece of it, the major piece of it, was money going directly to states to backfill holes that were emerging in the funding of Medicaid, the funding of schools, and the funding of state budgets. And the people down here, when we were faced with a deficit, made the decision that rather than to lay off a lot of state employees and make lots of cuts in the budget that would have affected localities, that we would use the federal money that was coming to us in the form of the stimulus to keep people employed, to keep good teacher-student ratio in the classrooms, to make sure higher education was funded, to keep police on the streets and state police on the roads protecting us, and a whole host of other the services that people have come to expect. We don't have the stimulus package this year, and so we've got some real serious issues to face.
There you go. Matt, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We've been talking with David Toscano. He represents Charlottesville and parts of Albemarle County in the Virginia House of Delegates. David, thanks for the update and the conversation. Take care.
I'm always glad to be on. Thanks.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.